welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this day, God. We pray right now, God, that you will just use us in a great and powerful way, God. We thank you, God, because we come today to lift up the name of Jesus, God. We sense that you are in the midst trying to do whatever you do because you're God all by yourself. So, God, we're obedient to your call, God. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus, anybody that is hurting in their body, we take authority. We plead the blood of Jesus right now. We take authority over heaviness, God. We bless your name, God. Teach us what you would have us to do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm praying for you as you are praying for me. Today, you could just sit where you are. I'm going to read a few scriptures for your hearing. Be reading from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. So you don't have to stand. I'm standing in reverence to his word. Genesis 12, starting at verse 1. Thank you, my men ushers. Y'all look good today. Just want to encourage the brothers. Got something else for y'all to do, too. Genesis 12, verse 1. It said, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curse you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The word of the Lord. Today I want us to think about the price of obedience. The price of obedience. I recently had a conversation with a good friend of mine who is a licensed minister. And even though he is doing ministry, he believes that in his heart that God is requiring him to do more. He has a young family, and he and his wife, they both are gainfully employed. He said, Reb, I'm trying to be obedient, but I'm just not sure of what that looks like. See, in a world surrounded by cuts and layoffs, declining profits are forcing companies to go under. And the next day, while watching the news, you find out that the company was sold. Investment programs in which you have been a part of for years are decreasing in value. He said, remember the last government shutdown was the longest in the history of the United States, causing some 800,000 federal workers to not get paid a check. There are no more pension programs. How can I instill hope and faith in people at work when I'm weary myself? The relevant question is to how can I faint not while navigating through the ups and downs that life brings and maintain peace in my home? He said, I'm committed to the disciplines of fasting and praying while waiting to seek clarity from God on how to balance life spiritually, how to balance life emotionally, and how to balance life physically. As he was sharing with me, I thought about my own predicament some years ago when my job was eliminated. Whether I would seek to get employment elsewhere or whether I was going to listen to what God had already said. God says that I want you to be in school. I want you to continue to prepare yourself because I have a greater need on your life. Now that's what God said. But sometimes when you're looking at bills, you're looking at your health, you're looking at your own personal view of yourself, and sometimes that can cloud your judgment. You see, there are sacrifices by faith one has to make while waiting patiently on God to move. Queen Esther, a good example, proved that when she risked her life to intercede with the king on behalf of her own people. She said, "If I perish, I perish." You see, when we die to self, we are really saying self is no longer the reason for one's existence. Dr. King would say this quote, "There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but it must take it because conscience tells me it's the right thing to do." God has a different purpose for each of us to fulfill, and he enables us to fulfill it as we trust his word and obey his will. God came to Abram and told him to leave his people, leave his country, his familiarity, and go to a new land, a new place that God has chosen with the promise of blessings and covenants. See, the life of Abram is an example for all Christians who want to walk by faith and not by sight. Abram was saved by faith and lived by faith, and his obedience was the evidence of his faith. By faith, when Abram was called, he obeyed God and went out not knowing where he was going. That's what it says in Hebrew, the 11th chapter. He went out and not knowing where he was going. He knew the direction, but not the specific place of the inheritance. This reminds me of if you gave me your address and I did not know that area you lived in, I would do like we do. I would Google that thing. Even when I Google it, I still don't know where it is because I got to listen to what Siri says. Turn left, turn right. But I do have an idea, but I don't have the specific location. This is the same thing with Abram. God told him, he said, leave the place. He had an idea, but he didn't have access to Google. So he had to rely upon God for his direction. See, whatever you bring with you from the old life into the new life, it's likely to create problems. Y'all didn't get that, did you? See, sometimes you want to take stuff along with you. But when God calls you and tells you to move, you got to move. Daryl, can you take that down a little? Because it's ringing. The life of faith demands total separation from what is evil and total devotion to what is holy. God told Abram what he would do for him and through him if he would trust and obey him. See, we are not saved by making promises to God. We are saved by believing God promises to us. So here it is in the text. He says, leave your country, leave your people, he said, and leave your father's house. Here's the first point that I want you to walk away with. A break with the past. A break with the past. Abram had to make some decisive breaks with the past in order to move out, to be open to God's truth. See, by leaving leaving Haran, where moon worship was the dominant cult, Abram had to be set free from the drag of familiar culture that would be harmful and detrimental to any new start. In other words, he had to get away from the same bitterness. He had to get away from the same doubt. He had to get away from the same dim view. He had to get away from the same negative mindset. Sometimes you got to leave some stuff behind you. It's cult worship. And if it was cult worship because he was connected with his family, that means he probably worshiped cults too. You like to tell me that, well, in my house, my parents, they go to church, but I go too. Just because mom and dad go, that don't mean you go. But whatever they model is what is embedded in you. Because once you leave there, you become just like them. Even though you said in your mind, I ain't going to be like my mama or my daddy. And you just like either both of them. You sure like one of them. So this place where God would reveal himself in a fuller way to Abram was not in a Haran. Don't allow others to cause you to just settle. Because what I read in the text in verse 31 in the 11th chapter, it says, Terah took his son, that's Abram's dad, his grandson Lot on of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai. And it says here in the text that they were headed to Canaan, but they end up settling in Haran. God told him to go to the promised place. I got a blessing for you. But because his daddy was in charge, they settled in Haran. So my point to you today is don't allow somebody to allow you to just settle. See, the biggest human temptation is to settle for too little. This is what Thomas Merton says. Why settle for less when you can have so much more? If God is going to blow your mind, why you want to take a little bit? Don't you want all what God has for you? If you want a big car, why would you go and get a little one? Because you know the little one wouldn't meet your need. It might meet your pocketbook need. But if eventually, if you got a big family, a little one just ain't going to work. You're trying to pile 10 people into a car that's only conducive to hold four. Just don't make sense. And so sometimes when God wants to bless us, we take the jar as opposed to opening up the door. You can't even get all of God's blessing in that jar. If God wants to blow your mind, he will blow your mind. That's why he said he will open what? The windows of heaven. So we got to move out of those places of compromise. We got to move out away from those areas of predictability. We got to move out from the status quo. That's the stuff that's familiar to us. See, our lives sometimes are being relegated by calendars, by seasons, by always mimicking what we did in the past and so forth and so on. And it becomes routine. Therefore, we become boxed in. You're doing the same thing over and over again. You say it's no need to do anything different because that worked last year and it worked the year before. But God was trying to move you into a different direction to allow other people to come in. But we couldn't see that because we're stuck on what the calendar says. We're stuck on what the seasons. This is football season. And in football season, we got to get out of here before 1 o'clock. And you know why we got to get out before one. So sometimes the seasons dictate how we behave. The place where Abram was still offered too many dangers, and so did his relatives. And those who are tied to us by blood can still have a more subtle and powerful influence than we realize. Still holding on to you. Every time you look around, their hand is always out. No place of solitude. You can't even go home and be able to hear from God. They're like vipers. They're like leeches sucking on your every life. And you just sitting there taking it. Well, I am the oldest. But God told you to leave. You couldn't understand that. God told you to get out of that situation. God said, leave that job. You keep saying, well, it pays the bill. God said, I got another job for you over here. That's the blessing that he's trying to get us to see. That's not a risk. That's a sacrifice that you have to be willing to make. If you believe God is opening something up for you, you got to step out on faith. Just because he didn't show you the blueprint, that don't mean that it doesn't exist. To follow God, Abraham had to disassociate with his country and his family because they're enslaved to idolatry and sin. Got to get away from that stuff. People's worshiping all these Ouija boards and all this kind of stuff. You got to get away from that stuff. God is a holy God. And your excuse came, well, that's what my mama does. God said, well, that may be what your mama do, but you got to be the example for your mama and your daddy. For somebody that's lost that don't know God, you got to be the one. So stop using that as an excuse. But the biggest, the strongest of all of the influences was his father's house. And that had to be the hardest. That's why a man is encouraged to leave his father's house in the marriage ceremony. It says, therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto the one, and the two shall become one flesh. That means in order for that man to be head of his house, he had to get out of his daddy's house. That's why you have to be encouraged. Your daddy has a dominant influence. Don't worry about him. Focus on me. God is in control. So we have to be willing to be able to get out of our daddy's house. We have to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. God tests us in order to build our faith and bring out the best in us. But the devil tempts us in order to destroy our faith and bring out the worst in us. And sometimes distractions are getting in the way of what God has for you. Right now, we're in a distraction right now because we got to focus on what God is saying, what God is doing in the midst of this place. See, I know God got his hedge protection around me. I ain't worried about it. What the devil means for evil, God say he will use it for our good. So I'm talking about the price of obedience. In other words, without separation, there will be no further revelation. Those who cross national barriers for the call of God do so in order that they may know the benefits of the gospel. There's a benefit in what we do. A break with the past. That's what he had to understand. We have to understand it too. When our children have a passion and a desire that they want to go somewhere else to better themselves, we have to encourage that in them. Stop talking about, well, you know, you ain't old enough yet. You ain't even got a bank account. You ain't got a credit card. And I say you get them one because they want to explore themselves. They want to get out and be on their own. That's what you want them to have, but you want to control when they can go and when they can do that. That's why I don't work for them. Sometimes they have to make you mad, say, I'm just out of here. I got my one bag, because that's what you say. You ain't got nothing else. So they got their one little bag, and they're on their way. We have to have faith and confidence that we know that we poured into them all that we can give them. And that's going to be enough a lot of times to sustain them. Yeah, they're going to be failures. They're going to be ups and they're going to be downs. But so what? You had to learn too. Because I know when I got ready to leave, I told my grandma, I'm leaving. She said, well, you can leave. Do your thing. But it's amazing. We always find our way back home. So a break with the past. So then the text says, God says, go to the land I will show you. That tells me, here's my next point. Exchange the known for the unknown. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. That means you haven't seen the land. You don't have any idea of where the land is located. How big the piece of property that God is saying. He says, go. In other words, that's your obedience. Go, and when you get there, I'll show it to you. That's exchanging the known from the unknown. I say that because I remember my wife and I, when we traveled, we went to, in Brazil. And, you know, the food on the menu is a little different than what we used to eat. And sometimes I couldn't read it because it's in Portuguese. And they don't always have pictures like we have pictures. You know how you order from the menu? You say, well, that looks good. That's what I'm going to get. Didn't have pictures, and it wasn't in English. So we had to kind of figure out, well, what is that again? What's in it? And when you ordered a fish over there, they brought the whole fish with the head on it and everything. I stand back at you, and I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, can you just cut the head off and bring it back? Then I'll be more adventurous. But the fact is, that you have to exchange the known from the unknown. What you are familiar with, what you're used to seeing, what you're used to having. When you go to places that they don't cook the same way we do, they don't use the same ingredients. People say it tastes good, but you got to get past yourself to say, it looks okay, I don't know. And then they tell you, oh, I forgot to tell you, it's got a lot of bones in it. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I ain't even bring my glasses. See, we're nothing more than a divine promise to rely on. This 75-year-old patriarch was called to go to exchange the known for the unknown. He was called to abandon his homeland and his kindreds, to trust his destiny to God's guidance, to set out for the undisclosed destination. In a similar way, Jesus called his disciples to leave their nets and follow him. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I'm sure they didn't know what that looked like. They said, we're already out here fishing. What is he talking about? There is a sense in which every believer has to abandon the past and make an about turn and start afresh in the service of Jesus Christ. See, we have to make a complete turnaround. I know you think you bring some special skill sets with you. But God don't care nothing about your skills. God knows every hair on your head. All he wants is a faithful commitment, because he has to undo some things that needs to be undone in our lives in order for us to be used in his kingdom. Y'all didn't get that. Sometimes he has to undo some stuff. He has to straighten you out again. He has to remind you, it's all right what you learn in the corporate world, but that may not necessarily work in the spiritual world. And you can't see that. So God is preparing us. This is the price of obedience. We must keep this in mind. God never asked anything of us without also providing the resources for us to accomplish what he has asked us to do. And when we are in obedience, we show God that we love him and have more faith in him than we do ourselves. That's why he tells us, don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will continue to direct our paths. The obedient to obey God means to relinquish what we want and to choose to do what he asks. That's why you got to still give up some stuff. This thought pushes me to look at verse 4 more in detail in our chapter. Verse 4 says, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He was 75 years old. The text says that the text appears to be silent. And what I mean by that, because there is nothing about how Abraham felt as he pulls himself from his familiar surroundings. And what were the actual motives that inspired him to departure? That's what I mean. The text is silent. Can you imagine God telling you just to get out of your house right now? That's all he says. You need to get out right now. The first thing you're thinking about, I wonder where he's trying to send me. And what do I need so I can have a change of clothes? I don't want to just go any kind of way. You know, because I don't know how I'm going to look in front of people. He said, no. He said, just go and leave. So that's what I mean by the text is silent. We don't see any detail in the text that tells us what was Abram thinking. How did he feel? Not only did he tell him to leave, he says, leave your people and definitely get out of your father's house. Now, this is God speaking. Now, what if God told you that? How would you feel right now? He's saying it right now while I'm preaching. He says, right now, I want you to get out of that place that you're in. You wouldn't have any conversation? How would you feel? That's what I mean by the text is silent at that point. See, I thought about the church and what that might look like for us. In a highly mobile society, there are many reasons why people move. People move because they prefer probably a better client. Sometimes people move because they got a promotion, an opportunity to do something better, or they feel a change of environment may solve some of their problems. And all of these are valid reasons for moving, but have we ever made a move in faith based on what God has said to us about his eternal purpose of what he's trying to do in our life? Have you ever made a move like that? Because there's no motivation behind the move. It's faith behind the move. God says, I just want to make you better. He said, I want to put you in a better place. Sometimes we can't figure out what that looks like. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. If God spoke to you right now and told you, you'll be looking for some details. Everybody got a phone. You wouldn't be able to Google this. Because God spoke it. He said, you got to step out on faith. He says, he's trying to get us to see that we have to exchange the known for the unknown. So God did not give Abraham any reason or any explanation. He simply gave him what he gives us. And you know what that was? A promise. He just gave us a promise. The first one he said, I will show thee in the text. The first I will in the text, make no mistake, God is the one doing the blessing. God's blessing may be dependent on Abraham's going, but Abraham's obedience to God results in the blessing on the nation. He said, I will make you into a great nation. I believe this is a reference to Israel. Remember, the city of Babylon was determined to make a name for itself apart from God. And when you become egotistical and proud in an effort to create your own name, God has a way of reminding us of who's in control. When you become like you all that in a bag of chips, God has a way of reminding you. When you think because you go work out at these fitness places that you in shape, God has a way of reminding you that I control everything that's in your body. And sometimes you wake up and don't know why your shoulder hurting. Talking about you must have slept wrong. Sometimes that could be an indication that God has said, see, I control everything. I don't care how much you push up, how much you work out, how much you run. I'm in control because I'm God. This is my air. This is my universe. He said, I will bless you. He said, this is not a reference to a nation, but to Abraham alone. He says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. This is a personal gift. God has told each and every one of us. He said, I'm going to bless you, Deke. Not because you're so good, but because I'm so great. He said, I'm going to bless you. And we can't see what God is trying to do in the midst. He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. See, despite all the adverse indications that seem as unlikely for a promise of this magnitude to be fulfilled due to Sarai's barrenness, he said, I'm going to make your name great. So I'm sure this 75-year-old man trying to figure out, well, how is he going to make my name great? I got a wife that can't even deliver no children. See, God used this very disqualification as a tool for his purpose. You see, God will use situations of human helplessness to provide an occasion for his power to be demonstrated and recognized. That's why he used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Something that you can't figure out. Something that you can't go to the library and look up. Something that you can't go and ask somebody about. God says that it's revealed unto you if you search hard enough. It's right here in the book. But you always want somebody else to read for you. Just tell me what the preacher preached today. Where's the passage at? Just read it for me. And sometimes we have to understand, even though faith comes by hearing, but you have to be in the place to hear what God is saying in the midst of where you are. Because some things that's being said is just for you. And you think I done stayed up all night and worked on a sermon just for you. That's how God works. It ain't got nothing to do with me. See, when I stand here, I'm talking to myself. I'm encouraging myself. I ain't waiting till I get here to be encouraged. I already know that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Abram's name will become famous. A great name means nothing unless it is a result of God's blessing by dependence upon him. You will be a blessing. Blessings was not restricted narrowly to the one to whom it was promised. It overflowed to others. Those who happened to come in contact with Abraham were blessed simply by meeting and knowing him because he lived close to God. That's the same thing that happens to us. Because you have been called out, Bible says, be ye separated. When you go somewhere, when people flock around you because God is blessed, they get the drippings off of you. They think they're doing something, but really, in actuality, God is blessing you. So wherever you are, if you're in a place, God is blessing you in the place. So the people that happen to be in the place are being blessed because of you. Ain't nothing that they done. That's just how God works. So it says that wherever Abraham went, he was blessed, and whoever was in his presence was also blessed. Therefore, there is a moral responsibility upon Abram to do his part that he may become a blessing to others. To be truly blessed of God is not to be a blessing to others. This is God's intent in blessing us so that we may bless others. See, what God gives to you, yeah, I know you're the recipient, but he gave it to you so you can be a blessing to somebody else. Because there are a lot of people in our communities, there are a lot of people in our church that are hurting. So he's not limited. He just uses you as the vehicle to continue to be a blessing to somebody else. And sometimes we want to be hoarders of what God gives us. And when you become hoarders of what God's given you, notice that the flow stops. You got all you're going to get. It ain't like this is Christmas where you're getting a gift from everybody. He says, I will bless those who bless you. God's blessings, Abraham's family despite themselves. See, think about that. God blesses their family despite themselves. See, despite our disobedience, God still blesses us. Despite our waywardness, God still blesses us. Despite that lying spirit, God still blesses us. Despite us pretending to be something that we're not, God still blesses us. So in other words, you will have haters, and the fact of the matter is that he says, and whosoever cursed you, I will curse. See, divine grace presupposes that there will not be many that will wish you well. And that's where haters come in. When people start seeing you prosper, when people can't understand why you prosper when you don't really do a whole lot. I ain't never seen her go to work in years. And she always has something nice on, don't she? People can't understand it, why God does what he does. But when you are faithful what over a few things, he said he'll make you ruler over many. So all and all people on earth will be blessed through you. Here's the final point. God gives him a glimpse of the future. Abraham now gets a glimpse. These words reach back to the divided families on earth, divided by their sins as well as the curse. A blessing so great that it has an effect that shall extend to all families on earth. This word can only be thought of in connection with the promised Savior as the universal blessing. So the promise is always outside of man's capacity and always in the hands of a sovereign God. See, God's original blessing of all mankind would be restored and fulfilled through Abram and his offspring. See, the obedience of one man was to make possible the beginning of God's cosmic plan of salvation. That's why the scripture tells us the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The good of a harvest can go to waste if there are no laborers. These promises that God made with Abraham were fulfilled through the generations to come. See, Abraham would never see the promise fulfilled. Just as many who have marched for us, fought for justice and our civil rights never saw the fulfillment of the promises. See, we are the recipients and we owe so much to those who have gone before us. We walk in their footsteps and stand on their shoulders. Where would we be today if Abraham and Sarah had not committed themselves to obey the Lord's faith? Where would we be if previous generations of Christians had not given themselves fully to the Lord? God brings us out that he might bring us in. And claiming our inheritance involved tests and temptation. Claiming our inheritance involved challenges and battles. But God is able to see us through. See, in Christ we live, we die, we are raised and exalted. We live by faith towards the past work of God in Christ. We live by hope towards the future consummation, and by love towards the present relationship. This is the price of obedience. I'm done, but I got to tell you a story. As a man was passing the elephants, he suddenly stopped, confused by the fact that these huge creatures were being held by only a small rope tied to the front of their legs. No chains, no cages. It was obvious that these elephants could at any time break away from that bond, but for some reason, they just did not. This man, he saw a trainer nearby, and he asked the question. He said, why do these animals just stand there and make no attempt to get away? The trainer said, well, when they are very young and much smaller, we use the same rope to tie them at that age. And it was more than enough to keep them in place. And as they grow up, they are conditioned to believe that they cannot break through. Therefore, they still believe the rope can hold them, so they never try to free themselves. The man was amazed, and these animals could at any time break free from their bonds, but because they believed they couldn't, they were just stuck right where they are. You say, well, preacher, why are you telling me this? See, as Christians, we have allowed the rope of the world to make us feel we're stuck right where we are, that we can never break free. Don't allow the rope of classism. Don't allow the rope of sexism. Don't allow the rope of racism to keep you right where you are. Don't allow the rope of addiction. Don't allow the rope of depression. Don't allow the rope of persecution to make you feel that you're stuck right where you are. These are all devices that enemy uses to keep us from moving forward. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the whole world. I'm so glad that Abraham did not allow the rope of his father, Terah, to keep him bound. Terah died in Haran. The name Terah means delay. The name Haran means to parch, barren. When Abraham was in partial obedience, then delay and barrenness characterized his life. Don't be in partial obedience to God. If you want to embrace his full blessing, step out on faith. See, the Bible calls us to go in the highways and the byways of life. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. This is our mission statement. This is our price for obedience. So we are called to feed those that are hungry, clothe those who are naked, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks of the hope that lies within. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How many know that we need to be saved? We need to be able to be cleaned up in order to serve this holy God. He said, that's our reasonable surface. Stand on your feet today. I'm really done. I pray today that somebody heard what God has said about obedience. You may not be where you need to be, but you are in the right place today. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity. You can come. Come on your Christian experience. Come for a candidate of baptism. If you're in a backsliding condition, come. The deacons will receive you. Is there another one that want to join this young man? God had a plan in this place today. And we have to accept whatever God's plan is. Is there one on this side that want to come? We're not here to judge. Thank you, my brother.